The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we've got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday?
Bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We play What Are the Odds? So whatever you do, when you call or send a Raven or however you get in touch with the show,
whatever you do,
put odds on it. So, pretty good first hour. All available on podcastarena.com. And if you you missed any of it, you can listen to it. If you're just getting in the car, welcome. Feel free to call. We'll take some calls today. We're a little behind on that because obviously yesterday we had a bunch of guests and then Monday we're on location. So, happy to take some phone calls today at 713-780-3776. So you were mentioning another Astros rumor that you liked.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't know how realistic it is, but it's an interesting thought. Is the Yankees are shopping Andrew Miller, who is exactly what the Astros seem to have been looking for, a power arm in the bullpen. They would also be interested in a Vincent Velasquez type. So that's something else to monitor. I don't know. The Astros seem involved in every rumor.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know why the Yankees are willing to shop Andrew Miller. But if they are, you might as well listen.
Yeah, you want to be in on that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's, that's exactly the kind of guy that they're
trying
to get.
He's like Aroldis Chapman without the choking and gunplay.
Yeah. And that would make such a difference for this team. The interesting thing to me is all these rumors about shopping George Springer and guys like that. I don't know if they have enough depth in the outfield to be doing that. I also saw a story earlier today where they mentioned Gomez as a possibility. They've got a pretty good outfield right now. If you go Gomez, Springer, Rasmus, and then Tucker or whomever is your fourth guy, you trade one of those guys. You're going to go back to Jake Marisnik? Is that what it's going to be?
It depends on what you prioritize. You know what I mean?
I guess.
You could potentially play Gattis in the outfield if you had to. I don't know.
I guess. I find it interesting that they're willing to discuss those guys. I mean, if it's going to get them an arm,
right?
It's probably worth it, but I don't know that they're overburdened with depth at that position.
This team is not overburdened with depth anywhere, but they've got some core guys, but it's like the saying goes, if you want to get something, you got to give something.
Right.
And I think we all saw what the fatal flaw in this team was last year. And it was the bullpen. And am I crazy? And they could always sign a free agent. I mean, that's still a possibility.
Yeah. There's not a lot of sex. Well, they could sign a free agent at another position.
Right.
Trade one of those guys for an arm.
That's what I'm saying. Or sign an outfielder. But
yeah, because there's not a lot of
relief pitchers that are going to help you. That's why I think they're willing to do this. If it secures you another big arm, that's a nice trade-off, because there are outfielders available that could actually help you.
Let's try a couple phone calls. Sam, you get to lead off the 5 o'clock hour. What is up, Sam?
Yes.
Sports.
Yes, this is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, I was calling to see what's the odds of the Texans being the New England Patriots this Sunday night?
I don't know. I think the odds are, I'd probably put it at like 30%, somewhere in there. The Patriots aren't playing right, but I can't imagine they're going to lose three games in a row. We still don't know the status of Gronk. I assume
if Gronk doesn't play, that goes up.
You've got a shot.
Yeah.
If Gronk does play, who's going to cover him?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. They've struggled with tight ends all year.
Right. And now they get the best one?
Yeah. Now, from what I understand, I don't think Gronk's going to play.
Okay.
And if he doesn't, I think that goes up to 42 to 44%.
Okay.
Joseph asked, what's wrong with Gregerson? Doesn't strike out a lot, but was solid all season.
What they want is someone, and all their bullpen guys are the same. You need someone who can come in and throw 95 to 100 miles an hour. And the Astros didn't have that. That's the one look they couldn't give teams from the bullpen. So they've wanted a power arm at the back of the bullpen. And realistically, Gregerson, and we saw this with the Royals, Gregerson would have been pitching seventh inning for the Royals. So, I mean, Gregerson's a nice player. Don't get me wrong.
No, and he did a good job. But
yes.
If you're going to take that next step,
he's an eighth inning guy.
Yeah. And I also think part of the problem was because those guys all threw sort of the same, teams caught up with them by the end of the year. That's why they started struggling, and that's why they had some problems in the playoffs. And you need to mix it up a little bit. Let us try Jeff. Jeff, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir. Jeff?
What are the odds that Conor McGregor beats Aldo this weekend?
The Vegas odds will tell you it's about a 58% chance. I'm going to go with about a 40% chance. I still like Aldo in this fight. I love him as an underdog, by the way. I think that the striking is about even. And Aldo's better than him everywhere else. We've seen Aldo dominate this division for a really, really long time, and people tend to forget how good he's been. And if Aldo fought the way that he fights and talked the way that Conor talks, he'd be as big of a star as Conor. That's just not him. So I'll lean still towards thinking that Aldo's going to win, but you know, I'll tell you 40%. Vegas will tell you closer to 60% that McGregor's going to win.
All right, let's try Mike. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Closer to 60%.
Turn your radio down, Mike.
Immediately turn your radio down, Mike.
Turn your radio down, Mike. Or we're going to.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Turn your radio down, please, sir.
Got it down.
All right. Go, Mike.
Cool. I was wondering, what are the odds ending the repetitive shoulder injuries that Tony Romo is still starting for the Cowboys 2 years from now?
That's actually a good question. 2 years from now, if he goes through another season like this where he's getting snapped every time he hits the ground, still pretty good. I'd still say about 80%, but I don't think it's unfair to question that.
He signed a 6-year deal in 2013.
Yeah, but I think after
2 years,
after next season, it's a lot less punitive if you whack him. Yeah, and you know he may not want to keep playing if he keeps breaking his collarbone every time he lands on the ground.
Yeah,
that last one is the one that concerns me because he did not hit the ground that hard. You've got to be more durable than that,
dude. No, I'll go 100%. 3 years from now, maybe not, because I'm looking at the contract breakdown. He's going to get a next year, he's going to get $6.6 million in bonus, and he's going to be a $20 million cap hit with $32 million in dead money. Obviously not going anywhere. The year after that, he gets another $5 million signing bonus. $24.7 cap hit, $19.6 would be dead money. They're not cutting him.
The question is, how much do you say? Well, they may not cut him, but he may not be starting for him either at that point.
Well, who are you going to bring in if you're paying that much to him? You're going to pay a $25 million backup quarterback? Come on, Fred.
No, you're not, but you may have to bring in somebody else if the guy keeps breaking. You can't just keep saying, all right, well, he'll be fine.
Right.
If he goes through another season like this, and actually
– the year after that is the year they'd be willing to dump him. 2018, he's a $25 million cap hit, but only – less than $9 million of dead money. That's
but,
the year that
but
they
the
would.
The thing is, even though it's 19 in dead money, you'd still have $5 million in cap savings. So yeah, it's a lot of dead money, but you're
not
upside down on the contract anymore.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, in 2018, you would have $16.3 million in cap savings.
Yeah, 2018 is where it becomes.
But I mean, the guy's not young anymore, and
he's not. He'd be 30. He'd be 37 in 2017.
Oof.
I mean,
maybe you shouldn't have given him that contract.
Probably not. I'll go with 65% that he'll be the quarterback in 2017. Beyond that, though, I think it drops significantly.
All right, Brian, you're on the Blitz. Go.
What's going on, guys?
Sports.
Right. Hey, what are the odds the Houston Texans would finally address the quarterback situation in the first round?
The Texans address quarterback in the first round? I don't know. I think it depends on where they're
picking. Yeah, you know what? Guys, I know that everybody wants to ask that question over and over again, but there's no way of knowing without knowing where they're going to be picking. It's really something we can't start talking about until we know where they finish. And the truth is, if they're top 10, yeah, they'll probably be looking at a quarterback. But if they're picking 19, 20, 21, there may not be a guy sitting there that's worth drafting there.
They're in the situation where they're probably picking best player available at a position that they need.
Right.
And the reality is they need help all over the field. They need offensive linemen. They need a linebacker.
They need a running back.
Yeah.
This might be a draft where you have to look at a running back in the first round.
I don't think they're completely sold that they're – I mean, would you say they are set in the secondary? They could definitely use some safety help.
They could use a real – thumper safety who can cover.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of needs.
And I know the quarterback is the obvious one, but
I think middle interior defensive line is getting to be maybe something you need to look at.
Yeah, I think that's more middle linebacker is the reason they can't stop the damn run. But there's a lot of things that they can look at on this team. That, you know what, they could use another wide receiver, and they could use a tight end who can actually catch the ball. So it's just there's no way of knowing right now whether they're going to draft a quarterback or not. And it would not be the worst thing in the world if Brian Hoyer's your quarterback next year if they improve considerably.
Right. Brian Hoyer hasn't been the reason why this team has struggled this year.
And I know you'd love to have that one guy and that you could say, okay, this is who we're going to build around. But, you know, this team's pretty close if they can fix some of this other stuff that you can get by with Hoyer for a couple years. But until you totally tank out again and go 2-14 and there's actually a quarterback worth taking number one, then it's guesswork anyway.
Yep.
All right.
And I think this is a year where, and this is my personal taste, I'm not crazy about any of the quarterbacks in this draft. Well, so like if I had to wait until next year to take a quarterback.
You know, this is like the third year in a row you've said that, you know.
I say that a lot. No, I said, no, I remember I said take Derek Carr. Besides him, though.
But you weren't sure about it at the time. You said, I like him. That's probably the guy I'd go with, but none of these guys are worth the first round pick. That was your exact quote.
That's true. I did say I wouldn't take Derek Carr with the first pick, but when Derek Carr's available in the second round, you had to.
Well.
But I there's nobody. And
I like Paxton Lynch, but not where he's going to go.
Right.
He's going to go top five.
And you're
probably
not going to pick there.
And you're not going to be picking there. And that's a guy that if I could get him. Say
and that's
22.
Even if you liked him top five, you're not picking there anymore.
No.
This little win streak that's got everybody so excited, that's ruined any chance that you're picking in the top five.
And that's why this is kind of a silly discussion to have right now. Because, if he were to somehow slip to 2022 and he's available, yeah, I'm taking that guy.
Right.
But he's not going to because somebody's going to need a quarterback. And they're going to overpay for him, which they do every year.
Now, will they take a backup running or a backup quarterback at some point? Like maybe a project guy, second, third, fourth round?
Theoretically,
maybe.
Don't they already have that, though? He's sitting on IR right now.
Is he still the guy?
I guess so. I don't know.
All right.
But, I mean, is that what you want, another Tom Savage that you wait two more years on?
Good question. I mean, someone's got to fill Ryan Mallett's spot, though.
Yeah, T.J. Yates is the same guy.
You'd rather pay him than...
Well, you're not paying him anything. That's the beauty
next year, right?
No, you don't have to pay him. You pay him veteran minimum. He got the guy off the shelf.
Yeah.
So, Todd Jude said Cush is the problem. It's not just Cushing. I think it's the fact that...
Cushing, I've seen flashes where he's good, flashes where he's bad.
But, you know, the guys like McKinney, and maybe he'll get better. Maybe that's your answer down the road. It's not quite there yet.
But Cushing's on your team next year no matter what.
Yeah.
So, you get used to it.
All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN. Nice and fun.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. A couple things coming up. Anthony Munoz will join us at 5:30. I can guarantee you Anthony Munoz will join us. And he will be coherent.
With 100% certainty.
Exactly. And it'll be a good interview. It won't be somebody going off the rails. So that'll be at 5:30. And 6:15, we will do our Quaker Steak and Lube giveaway, where we're going to play What Are the Odds, and whoever has the best What Are the Odds, in Jong's judgment, which Jong's had one fewer beer than AJ and I have had, so we trust his judgment more, and you're going to win the Quaker Steak and Lube gift card. So, and then at 6:45, we'll play More Out of the Week, where you can win the Flash Cash and Arrow prize pack. Two of you out of the three.
Right.
So lots of stuff coming up. All right, a couple things. I'm going to zip through some Twitter here. Jared asked, said, saw a mock where the Texans took Elliott round one and Hackenberg in round two. I wouldn't mind Slackenberg in round two. I don't want him in round one.
Agreed.
That would be fine. That's kind of where you want a quarterback like that who I'm not totally sold on, but, you know, in the second round, yeah, but somebody will probably take him higher than that. Austin, what are the odds JJ leaves after his contract is up, and what are the odds we are in the AFC Championship in 5 years? If you say sometime in the next 5 years, I'll give you 10% chance. As far as JJ, he's under contract through 2021, so
who knows what?
Yeah,
there's no way of telling.
Yeah, that one is just impossible, because if he's still playing at a high level, the Texans can still franchise him twice. So technically, he'd be here through 2023, and by then, he's not going to be the same player. So does it really matter?
Yeah, they've got the rest of reasonably dominant JJ Watt, which, by the way, JJ Watt, I was reading today, leads all defensive players in Pro Bowl voting. Easy for me to say. And oddly enough, this is the first time I've read that and been kind of surprised that he's leading all defensive players in Pro Bowl voting, because I figured the season Josh Norman's having and the fact that they're undefeated.
Yeah, although
I would have thought that guy would be.
But the problem with that is, as good as he's been, he's still not a household name. Richard Sherman wasn't his first year. He was really good either. So he's kind of building it up. And he's also got Kuechly on the same defense.
Yeah.
And I think that affects it a little bit too. Ordinarily, I'd say cornerbacks, but J.J. Watt's kind of earned this. Plus, with all the commercials he does, he's on TV all the time. People are going to vote for him.
True.
Joseph asking, when will Velasquez be ready? Is it worth giving him up? I think it's worth giving him up if you get a guy who's ready to close right now. I don't know. I like Velasquez a lot. But also remember, he's already had Tommy John surgery once, and he's awful young. I think if you get a legitimate major league closer, I would give him up. I like the kid. Now, I'm the one saying I wouldn't give up McCullers. But Velasquez in the right deal, absolutely I would. Because, again, you have to give something up. I do like the kid, but I don't know if he has that. It's hard to say without being around him. I don't know if he has that closer mentality. And I don't know if that's. And he doesn't quite, I mean, he's got a good live arm and he throws hard, but not like some of the guys are talking about.
Right.
All right, let's zip through some phone calls. Travis, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, sports to you.
Sports to you.
All right, what are the odds are, and I love when this comes out of my mouth, with the Cowboys sucking as bad as they are. Doesn't that sound good? What are the odds they get five or more primetime games next year?
I would say
five is a lot.
It's a lot, but they're the Cowboys. They're always getting primetime games, and they're going to, because they're just TV's going to assume, well, Romo will be healthy.
Yeah, if you set it at 4.5, I'd probably go under. If you set it at 4, I would have to say over, though.
Do you count the 3:30 games as primetime?
No. Thursday, Sunday night, or Monday night.
Well, you know they've automatically got one on Thanksgiving.
Yep. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And so I'll go they'll have three more. I think 4 is the number.
I think 4 is the exact number, yeah. So slightly under 5. Richie, you're on the Blitz on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
What are the odds that Tiger Woods wins another tournament in his career?
I'll go with 100%. a tournament, not major tournament, I'll go much lower.
Well, like he might have the Tiger Woods Invitational with himself and three friends. He'll win that.
Or when he's 60, he'll beat a bunch of other.
He'll win a senior tournament.
I mean, the guy's still very good. I don't know that he's good enough to beat the best in the world anymore. But I mean.
He's done.
Yeah.
And he's never winning another major. I said that 6 years ago whenever he won his last one.
True.
I've been saying that all along.
You said that as long as I've known you.
Once you get bashed in the head by your wife.
It throws off your
with
golf
a golf
swing.
Club. You're never the same.
True.
It's a shame because golf was fun when Tiger was beating everybody's ass. And now it's just, eh. It was, oh, well, Jordan Spieth is the next. No, he's not. He's for golfers like him, but that dude transcended the sport and
there's
got
not,
people interested.
There's not a next Tiger Woods.
George, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports guys.
Sports to you.
What are the odds that Rick Smith keeps his job even if the Texans make the playoffs? I'll hang up and listen.
Man, who knows about Rick Smith?
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna throw this out there. I think it's about 10%.
If they miss the playoffs?
If they make the playoffs. I think he's going to wind up in a different role with...
So not fired.
Not fired.
Just moved.
Moved around to... vice president of player personnel or something where it sounds like it's a promotion, but it's really just kind of being kicked upstairs so that you can still sit there with Cal and Bob McNair and look cool.
Okay.
And someone else is actually making the decisions. I really get the impression there's a big disconnect between him and Bill O'Brien, and that especially if this team makes the playoffs, who's going to get credit for that? It's going to be O'Brien, not Rick Smith.
Yeah.
And if that happens, I think you're going to see someone else and they're actually making the decisions and him being kicked upstairs. I would be almost willing to bet on that. Patrick, if forced to punt on one of them, who first, Harden or Howard, and what are the odds it happens this season? We talked about that in the first hour. I think Harden would go first. I mean, Howard would go first.
100% Howard would go first. Yeah. Do I think that... Listen, if I could trade Dwight Howard for an equal part, someone equal to Dwight Howard, or I could trade James Harden for someone to equal to James Harden, I would trade James Harden yesterday if I could get something equal back for him. You just can't.
But yeah, how do you get something equal back
you
for that?
You can't. But I also don't think that James Harden can win a championship, so...
So Michael,
they're in a tough spot.
Michael sends us this long parlay list and said, what are the odds I hit my parlay?
Once
I
got, how many?
Once I got past the fourth one, just going to say under 5%.
Yeah.
Probably 3%. Doesn't really matter who you bet or what the numbers are at that point. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. We come back. Anthony Munoz.
Oh, it's got NBA. It's all NBA.
It's all NBA.
Oh, good luck. I don't want to tell you you're throwing money away, Michael. But
well, $4 to win 188. That's a bet. Well, I would just say this. That 188 that you win for your four... The odds are much longer than your return. So, good luck, though. I'm going to be rooting for you. I'm going to save this and root for Michael tonight.
Okay.
Because I like the Blitzers to win. I'd give you a million reasons why betting a ticket like this is not a great idea. But for $4, hey, man, it's fun, right?
Limit your parlays to three.
It's like a lottery ticket.
Tell guys this all the time. If you had that audiobook, you'd know.
It's a great audiobook, by the way. Available at podcastarena.com. There's also a great link to buy it as a gift on our Facebook page. All right, quick break. Anthony Munoz up next. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz. Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now, one of our favorite guests that we've had in the past for several times, and best known because he's a Hall of Famer, best known as the Cincinnati Bengal, but he does a lot of stuff here in the city, too. Anthony Munoz joins us. Anthony, how are you, sir? Always a pleasure, man.
Great. Thanks for having me on. Always good joining you.
Well, first off, I want to ask you about your former team because the Bengals are having a terrific season. What's the difference between this team this year versus the last couple of years when they've got to the playoffs, and do you expect a better result in the playoffs this year?
Well, first of all, I really believe that they will do better in the playoffs. You know, in the past several years, it's kind of like, I hope they can win a playoff game. But I think they will. You mentioned, what's different? You know, first of all, I think there's a different little attitude with Andy Dalton. And I expect that because, you know, last year, you're without Tyler Eifert. A.J. Green's hurt a lot of the year. And Marvin Jones has hurt just about the entire season. So, you know, you have three very explosive, great targets there. And, you know, the offensive line's intact. Gio and Jeremy Hill are doing well. So, offensively, Andy has all his weapons, and it's obvious with what they're doing offensively. And so, again, attitude, players are there defensively. You know, that front four is deep. And I think that's something that you can say about just about every position. Although the secondary is getting a little banged up, they're pretty deep. I mean, you know, Dunlap and Michael Johnson, you can bring in Gilberry, and you've got Pecco. And the key, Geno Atkins is 100%. He wasn't there last year. The guy is just amazing. You know, if I was starting the defensive line, wouldn't it be nice to have J.J. and Geno right next to each other up that gut, you know, or playing, you know, defensive end DT? That would be the start. You might only need two defensive linemen if you went with those two guys. And that's what's going on. And they're just, you know, they get behind. It's not like, well, I hope we can catch up. They have an attitude and the confidence that they can come from behind, the Patriots game. They're down 17 late in the game, and they come back and win it. You know, the Ravens on the road, the Steelers on the road. And, you know, so it's one of those things where I really believe that they have a legitimate chance this year.
Looking around the rest of that division, Pittsburgh's dealt with injuries all season long. The Ravens have dealt with season-ending injuries to key guys all season long, and then the Browns are shuffling around quarterbacks. Johnny Football's suspended, then he's benched, and now he's back in. Is this almost a perfect storm for the Bengals this season? You think this is the year for them to make that next step because everything has fallen into place for them?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, and if you look at what they've done the last several years, they've done pretty well against their division. So now that the teams are down, they're banged up a little bit, a better advantage for them. So now you go out and you have some success against the teams in your division, then you go outside the division and play really well. So, yeah, I think this is kind of pieces are falling together. But again, it's not something that hasn't happened in the last several years. They've done, like I said, they've done pretty well against their division, but now the division isn't doing that well outside of their division. So it's very helpful. And a year where they're putting up a lot of wins, it's good that the other teams are kind of down.
After this weekend, I mean, obviously you could ask 10 different people who the best team in the NFL is, and you may get four or five different answers. A lot of people would say the Panthers because they're undefeated. I tend to think it's Carolina, or not Carolina, Arizona. I think a lot of people are still, you know, and should still be looking at the Broncos or the Patriots. Who in your mind right now is the best team, the team to beat in the NFL?
I think you covered pretty much the teams that I would go with. It's hard to not put, you know, undefeated team up there, which has been very, very impressive in the Carolina Panthers defensively. I mean, with Tommy Davis and Kuechly at the linebackers and the way they've been playing defensively. And, of course, Cam Newton leading that offense. You never can count out the Patriots, even though they, found a pretty motivated Eagles team this last week. And, you know, say what you say again about the Broncos. They're still there. They got the young quarterback playing well. I think those are the teams. And then, you know, we saw Arizona out there. They slow start, but Carson Palmer got rolling. Offensively, they're pretty good, and defensively. So I think you've covered the teams that and then you always have some teams that kind of sneak up there, not the great records, and you just got to keep your eye on them. So I think it's good when you have a half dozen teams, six, seven teams that have a chance on, really stepping up and playing well.
Anthony Munoz, our guest, Hall of Fame offensive tackle, and a man that many believe is the best to have ever played that position. Anthony, I want to ask you about your alma mater because there were a lot of big names thrown out when the coaching search was going on. They wound up going with Clay Helton. In your mind, was that the right move, and do you think Clay will do a good job there?
You know, I have to admit, like a lot of people, you're always kind of looking out there in the field and seeing, okay, what big name coaches are available, who could you lure into the USC job, which to me is one of the top couple jobs in the country. But as I had a chance to be around this team with the coach, and I don't know Clay well, but I've heard more about him. I've seen interviews. You see that he's a solid guy. But the thing that I've been impressed with from the video I watched when he was announced in the meeting room to the interviews, the guy is solid. I mean, he's, you know, coaching is in his blood. I mean, his dad was an offensive line coach in the NFL for a lot of years, University of Houston head coach. But to me, that's what's been impressive is the way these guys have played, the way the team has played for them, how hard they've played. I'm sure they'd like to have a couple of those losses that they had back in the win column. But I think, you know, when it's all said and done, I think Clay Helton, you know, this is the second go around as an interim coach. He finally got the head job. So I think he's going to do well. I mean, I think, you know, he understands the USC tradition. He understands what, you know, what the university is all about, what USC football is all about. And so I think it's a good choice moving forward. I'm excited about it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Have you ever seen anything like that where, you know, you have a coach who obviously had some issues that you wind up having to fire during the season? And how important is it that USC get this hire right? Because it really hasn't worked out since Pete Carroll left.
Well, you're right. And, you know, again, not only the guys that are there playing for him, but the fact that a lot of recruits have said, hey, you know, Clay Helton's the guy. I'm coming there because of Clay Helton. But I think it's very important that they get it right, you know, since Pete Carroll. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, what it was. So I think it's very important. You know, when you look at programs like, you know, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, Michigan, you know, USC, and now there's a few more other than just, you know, a handful like it used to be back in the day. You need to make sure you get the right head coach. I mean, you look at Michigan. You know, they were down, and people say, well, it's going to take Jim Harbaugh a while to turn things around. I mean, very competitive this year, you know, played extremely well. So that's good for the game. It's good for college football. And, again, it's very important that this works out for USC, and I'm confident that it will.
When we get a guy like you on, I always like to get your opinion on the next crop of guys. Are there any guys playing college ball right now, playing the tackle position that you see as guys who could make a nice transition to the NFL?
You know what? I haven't. I watched a lot of college football. I haven't really watched a lot of the offensive linemen. You know, I gotta confess, I've been watching quite a few of the skilled guys. You know, the running backs, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers. You know, usually I do watch a lot of the offense, defensive linemen, the matchups. But man, I tell you what, a lot of exciting stuff going on. I know my Trojans lost in the Pac-12 championship game. But how about the kid for Stanford? I mean, he is amazing. You know, over 400 yards of, you know, of all-purpose yards. And then you got, you know, the quarterback down at Clemson. He just got, you know, running back over at Alabama. So I got to confess, usually I don't watch the ball all the time, but I've been watching more of the ball this year with some of some of the small skill guys. I haven't been watching the large skill guys as much as I should be.
Anthony, you got a very cool thing happening this week here in Houston, and tell us a little bit about it and what it benefits.
Well, you know, the great thing is, you know, here in Cincinnati, I've been doing my foundation's in existence for about 14 years. We've raised, you know, well over $10, $11 million. We've impacted thousands of kids with programs and scholarships. And the great thing for me is we get to come down to Houston and implement some of these programs down in the Houston community. We have a big weekend in store, starting out with the golf tournament at the Wildcat Golf Course on Friday. I got 10 Hall of Famers coming in, some great guys. You know, guys, local guys like Elvin Bethea and Kenny Houston and Bruce Matthews, but I'm bringing in Michael Haynes and Steve Largent and Kellen Winslow, Jan Stenerud. So I'm excited about John Randall. So I'm excited about doing that. We're going to have the golf on Friday. We got a youth camp on Saturday morning, teach these young men and women. We're having a minimum of 200, teach them football, but also work on character and team building. This will be held at the Houston, Texas YMCA. It's a half-day camp. We'll have a dinner Saturday night at the JW Marriott downtown. And then we'll watch a little football, the Patriots and the Texans on Sunday. But the main thing is we're going to really work hard. And hopefully this isn't a one and done. Hopefully this is the beginning of many years of coming to Houston, raising scholarship dollars for kids there in the area, scholarships at camp. And then we got a neat little program that we're going to start. It's called the Exchange Program. We're taking some high school students from the area, and we'll exchange with other cities and really expose them to possible career paths, you know, university life, city involvement, ways to give back in the various host cities. And so we're really going to work on trying to develop these young men and women at a young age, start with them in junior high, and then work through high school, you know, with the character camps, the exchange program, and then some scholarships for young men and women going to college. So I'm excited. You know, this is a community that the last 4 years, my son and I have been there in partnership with the NFL doing character camps. Of course, it ended about 23 years ago, but I used to be in Houston every football season, at least once a year on Sunday afternoon, playing against the old Houston Oilers. So it's good to come back in the community and revisit the old community. But the main thing is trying to have an impact with the young people. And I know I didn't play my football there, but I think we can utilize some of the guys that played there, other guys coming into town, and we can start having an impact in other cities besides the ones that we played in. And that's what we all have a tendency to do. You know, we really support each other's charitable causes, and that's what we're doing.
I think it's very cool that since 2002, you guys have raised almost $750,000 in scholarships, and that's a terrific thing because, you know, education is so important. It changes lives. Guys, if you want to get a foursome or tickets for any of this, 832-515-5189 is the number. Give them a call and get a chance to play with one of the Hall of Famers. And, Anthony, always a pleasure, man. Appreciate what you do, and as always, we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, and myself and my team are looking forward to being in Houston to have a great weekend this event. So thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's Anthony Munoz, the Hall of Famer. Great, great thing they got going on. So check it out once again, 832-515-5189. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Gee, it can't stop me from rapping, can it? Kenny Hawk.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And we are back on The Blitz. ESPN 97.5 brings back the Christmas sports stocking beginning Monday, December 14th. We'll give away one stocking each day that is filled with prizes. We've got Pier 61 Seafood, Deep South Barrels, and Star Sports Bar and Grill, just for starters. Keep them or use them to complete your shopping list. Listen to The Blitz for your chance to win. At Deep South Barrels, which is now brings you What Are the Odds Wednesday. That's a cool thing you do that with them, AJ.
Oh, absolutely. So, I love it. I've got a batch brewing right now, my friend, at home. Should be ready around New Year.
That sounds pretty awesome. All right, before we get to the gem of the day, I have one small, tiny complaint.
Okay.
I'm going to go on record now, so I know there's people who work in this building that actually listen to this show. Not all of you, but a lot of you. The next time I go into that damn bathroom and somebody hasn't flushed that urinal, and I know who it is because they come out before me, I'm going to tell the public who it is, who doesn't flush the damn urinal.
Good. I hope you do.
Now, I will make three exceptions.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I not today. Yesterday, I saw somebody do it.
Okay.
But I'll make three exceptions. A, the guy who signs our checks. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care.
Okay.
You and Jong. Anybody else? If you, and I know you have to flush that thing twice. It's kind of a mess.
It's not going to be us. Jong.
I know it's not going to be you guys.
You know, I'm anal about that stuff. And Jong has very good bathroom behavior. It's not going to be us. It's going to be somebody else.
Jong is the one person who will stand in there and wash his hands longer than I will.
I can't speak for David Gao. I don't know if he's a flusher or a hand.
I don't know,
washer.
But he signs a check, so I don't care.
Right.
But if you work here, and I don't know, you have trouble saying certain words or something, and you don't flush, I'm going to call you out next time. I just want you to know that. I don't want to walk in there and see yellow, ever. Not cool. It's disgusting. I understand in some places of the world, like when I have to go to Canada, it drives me nuts because they have water problems up there. So you're supposed to let it fill for a bit before right. you, and it disgusts the hell out of me. But we don't have that here. So just flush, damn it. Anyway, I just want people to know that I am going to, next time it happens, I'm going to say who it is. Whether they work here or Yahoo or Deportes or whatever that new company is that has the two hot chicks that work here. Whoever it is, I'm calling you out. All right, now we'll do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. the Paddock Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, Jong, I might need your help on this one because I know we're going to talk about two different things. One of them AJ knows a lot about. One of them he knows nothing about. And I think you know a lot about the second one.
Is it Asian or wrestling?
No.
Oh.
Well, it involves two things. Donald Trump, which I know AJ knows, and Harry Potter, which I know he does not.
I think, Fred, you know more than Harry Potter.
I know, but you're
me.
Up enough on Harry Potter that you can help with this.
I only watched the movies. I didn't read the book.
That's okay. That'll be good enough. Apparently, when Donald Trump came out and said his thing about Muslims, that got quite the backlash. Actually, I think it's...
Yeah, I wonder why.
You don't think he had a good point? You don't want Raheel out of here? I'm just asking. No, actually,
like a lot of businesses that I regular at would be gone. Just
a lot of good restaurants out
here. Yeah.
When Dick Cheney is saying you're an idiot, that's a pretty bad sign.
Yeah.
But anyway,
if Republicans think you're racist, you've gone too far. Well, what's actually crazy is he's still like 20 points up over other Republican nominees,
yeah,
which is insane.
Although I saw 538 has a good breakdown on how Ted Cruz may actually do some damage now, which I know makes you very happy. Oh. But anyway.
Yeah, tell me to pick between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump.
Who do you pick?
John, do you have a gunshot sound? Because I don't have a gun with me. But if you have one, that's what it would be.
Well, all right. So that was kind of a stupid thing to say. And people kind of ran with it and started comparing him to Voldemort from the Harry Potter series.
That's actually pretty fair.
Well, we'll get to that. Guy says the only way to stop Donald Trump is to destroy his Horcruxes. The wig is definitely one. If you need me, I'll be finding the other six. Somebody else tweeted out, my theory is that Trump is Voldemort, and if the media stops saying his name, Harry Potter will come destroy him. America will be great again. All right, so all these tweets come out about this. So guess who has to weigh in? J.K. Rowling, who wrote the books, right? Her tweet, how horrible. Voldemort was nowhere near as bad. Okay, funny, except I will say this. Donald Trump, to my knowledge, has not killed anyone, did not try to kill an infant, was not raising up evil to try to get rid of every... Yeah, well, maybe he's raising up evil, but has he killed anyone yet that we know of?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Jong, having watched the movies, more evil, Trump or Voldemort?
Voldemort.
Yeah, it's not close, right?
Are you sure?
It's not close. The dude was the epitome of evil.
I don't know enough about
it. I know. That's why I needed Jong for this, because I kind of felt like, I get she's trying to be funny, and then she wrote this whole thing defending Voldemort, who was the absolute villain of the entire series.
Right.
And, okay, I know we all want to demonize Trump, and he deserves it. He doesn't probably deserve it. But let's not put him on an evil wizard who killed people and tried to kill a little kid.
Man.
Now, if the evil wizard had just said, hey, we're not going to let good wizards in here, that's the same thing.
We're running out of respectable choices to vote for president, aren't we?
Well, I agree, but...
I feel like 4 years ago, I was like, ugh, you've put me in a spot where... And I did vote third party 4 years ago. I couldn't look myself in the mirror for 4 years having voted for Mitt Romney or Barack Obama for a second time. I don't know if you said, hey, you have to choose between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I don't know what I would do. This is crazy what we've come to.
I know.
What world do we live in?
And
that's the two best people we can put forward.
See,
there's millions of people in this world. Millions. That's the two best we've got.
I am, well, those are the two most popular we have. I don't know if that's the two best. I don't think.
Then where is the best guy?
Well, I think the best
Please
guy.
Please step forward.
The best guy is going to die long before he ever gets elected because he's 176 years old. But.
Who's the best guy?
I think Bernie Sanders is the best guy. But the problem is, I don't know how he's going to pay for all this crap. I don't agree with half of his stuff. I do agree with a lot of it.
I don't think the best guy is anybody we've seen in the last couple
of years. Well, no, best guy is not running, but the best of what we have. I mean, at least I think the guy's honest and he's not full of crap and he's not just saying stuff to get attention, which I'm okay with.
You know what really should happen?
That free college thing pisses me off, though. I can't vote for him either. I don't know what I'm going to do.
A few years ago, I was like, I can't vote for Ron Paul because he'll probably die.
Yeah, that's Bernie.
But he would have made it.
Yeah, he would have
like
made
Ron
it.
Ron Paul, he's still alive.
John McCain. John McCain, same thing.
John McCain, too, yeah.
He would have made
guys,
it.
If those guys ran again, I would vote for him.
I would, too.
Either one of them.
Either one. I'm with
you. I don't care how old you are now. If I feel like you're the right guy, I'll vote for you.
If Reagan were still alive and could run again?
No. He's full. He's had his two terms.
And he's not around anymore anyway.
That's right.
So
even dead Ronald Reagan, though, I would vote for before Trump. Like Weekend at Bernie's Ronald Reagan, I would vote for before I voted for Donald Trump.
Hey, let's do that. Let's just because that's what he did the last 3 years anyway. They just propped him up.
We almost did that with Jimmy Carter, right? But he's made it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your Sad Eye Jeweler's Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Sad Eye Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Pretty sad that as a lifelong Republican, I can't find a single one that I would even think about voting for.
Yeah.
And that I'd even consider voting for a 90-year-old dude who doesn't comb his hair.
Listen, I've never voted for a Republican. When you present me Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, you're basically begging me to vote for a Republican. But if the best you can put forward is Donald Trump
or
Ted Cruz, I mean, come on, what are we doing?
I'll take Bernie over Hillary any day, but I just don't.
But Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, what would you do?
Move to Canada. So, yeah, that's the one way the Blitz could die is I would move to Canada if either one of those wound up getting elected. Well, I'm kind of stuck here until the end of my contract. But after that, I'd move to Canada.
Don't joke about it because it's pretty realistic that one of them will.
What makes you think I'm joking? They're about to legalize weed in Canada across the entire country. All right,
Jeremy says you don't think the stress in office would have killed Ron or McCain, even if it did. Okay. The problem with McCain was,
yeah, it'd have been Palin.
It would have been Sarah Palin, and I couldn't have allowed that.
No, that was what scared all of us.
And I said, wow, this guy could be really good, but he's also very likely to die in the next 4 years, and this is who would take over. I can't deal with that.
Well, you know what? If you're worried about that, the best thing to do is donate your car, because you're not going to need it anyway.
That's not going to help me at all.
Well, you know what? I'm sure you've got an extra vehicle lying around.
If I kill myself, then you guys can donate my car.
Okay, this is perfect, because here's where it should go. You can do something really good with your vehicle. And actually, if you've got one that's not running, it's been sitting there forever, and it could be a car, it could be a truck, it could be almost anything.
A motorcycle?
Yes, it can be a motorcycle. Yes, they will come and...
Just kidding, I'm not giving away my motorcycle.
Well, yeah, but if you crash it again, somebody runs into you.
Then you can have it.
Yeah, they'll take it. In fact, they will come and tow it free of charge. They'll fill out all the paperwork for you, and your donation is tax deductible. So you're going to be able to save money on taxes, and you're going to do a great thing. And plus, if you donate now, and tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you get a free $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you. And the money for Houston Can Academies goes to help kids. And I know you've heard the saying, right off the car, not the kid. But what it really means is they're taking kids who have dropped out of high school for a variety of reasons. And if there's anybody out there that's ever had to do it, you probably understand why. In some cases, it's because they had to get jobs. They had to take care of their family. Some of them had family issues and they had no choice. Well, Houston Can Academy gives them a second chance. And they work around their schedules. And if they've got a daycare there. So if someone got pregnant and had to drop out, the kids can go there while they go to school. That's what they do. And they give people a second chance. And a lot of these people are taking advantage of it, man. And they're going on to do great things. And all they're asking for is that vehicle you're not using anymore so that they can help these kids. If they need glasses, they can get them that. If they need transportation, they can get them that. That's what they do when you donate your vehicle. So you're doing a great thing. You're getting rid of something you're not even using. And you're helping change lives. Give them a call right now. Houston Can Academy, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And that's what it means to write off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.